You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 3rd of November, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about the left attacking itself. And evil always ends up consuming itself in the end, and we see this regularly starting to happen now with the left, particularly with transgenders and so-called TERFs. And TERFs are trans-exclusive radical feminists or trans-exclusionary radical feminists. They're basically feminists that don't agree with the idea that transgenders are the same as biological women. And of course, they're not the same as biological women. They have XY chromosomes, for a start. They have different bone structure. They were born a different sex. And this idea that gender is all just in the mind and completely divorced from biology and what your actual sex is a complete fantasy. But of course, when these feminists start saying this, they then get attacked by the trans activists. And this happened quite famously last year with the author of the Harry Potter books. And now it's also been happening with a Sussex University professor who's actually been forced to quit her job because of all the threats that have been made against her. Trans activists have today taken to social media to celebrate the resignation of a feminist Sussex University professor who quit amidst a storm over her views on gender. What lovely people these trans activists are. They are celebrating the fact that this woman is now out of a job. And of course they do this to nationalists all the time. Anybody that criticises government policies on immigration or multiculturalism, they will call for those people to be sacked if they're activists online and they have an anonymous account. They will try to dox them with a view to getting them to lose their job. They will complain to their boss and they will say this person has unacceptable views. How dare you employ them? And then they'll celebrate the fact that somebody no longer has a job. They can no longer bring the money in that is required to support their family. And they will even go so far as to pressure banks to take the bank account away from people. And of course, we saw that happen with Mark Collette and Laura Towler. And we've seen this happen with Henrik Palmgren and Lana Loktef over there in America. We even saw this happen to Donald Trump with his campaign contributions. They were going into a bank account and the bank debanked the president. I mean, this is how bad that it's got. And people actually celebrate this. I mean, how twisted must you be to celebrate the fact that somebody can no longer provide food for the table and a roof over their heads simply because they have a different opinion to you? I mean, we used to be known for being a particularly tolerant country, and we used to be taught from an early age to be tolerant of divergent views and that other people might have different opinions to our own. And today, we are probably one of the most intolerant countries in the world to people that have different views to our own, even to the extent of jailing people for having different opinions. I guess we're not quite as bad as Germany yet, who will jail people for having different opinions about what went on in history, just for asking questions about what went on 70 years ago, you can get sent to jail in Germany. And if you're a lawyer and you defend somebody who has asked questions, and you do actually defend them, and you point out the questions that they were asking, then the lawyer himself can also be jailed. So at least it's not quite that bad over here yet. But as I say, we do now have people being kicked out of universities simply for having a different opinion. University of Sussex Professor Kathleen Stock announced yesterday she was stepping down from her job after facing a campaign of bullying and harassment. So these trans activists, they're celebrating the fact that they bullied this woman so much that she felt that she had to leave her job. I mean, harassing somebody, I always thought that that was against the law. Why haven't the police arrested these trans activists for their harassment? The philosophy professor, imagine that, a philosophy professor as well. So they're supposed to be talking about the opposing sides of an argument. And yet, apparently, there is no opposing side to this argument about transgenders. It's already been all discussed. It's all solved and done. And trans women are the same as biological women, even though they don't have a womb. And the word woman comes from womb and man. The philosophy professor was at the centre of a blazing row and a student-led protest at the university after saying she believes gender identity does not outweigh biological sex when it comes to law and policy. So what she's saying is absolutely sensible. Priti Patel has just come out and said that the police need to record transgender women as men as far as crime statistics are concerned, because otherwise it looks like hundreds of women have actually been charged with rape when it's not possible for women to be charged with rape. So what this professor is saying here is just common sense, really. She also said that people cannot change their biological sex, sparking anger from protesters who accused her of transphobia. You cannot change your biological sex. I mean, how insulting is it to a woman to just claim that when a man cuts his penis off, that suddenly makes him into a woman? I mean, that is just so insulting, the same as it is insulting to men to claim that a woman who has an appendage attached to them is suddenly therefore a man, and that appendage is no different to an actual penis. It's just incredibly insulting all around. I find it hard to believe that the majority of transgenders would actually go along with this, to be honest. I think most of them probably do not want attention. I think the ones that do want attention are probably more likely to be narcissists and just getting involved in this because it's the latest fad. We know that the parents of these so-called trans children, a lot of them have a syndrome that means that they project illnesses onto their children, Barron-Munchausen syndrome or something like that. I was looking at a meme the other day. It was saying 99% of the people that suffer with this are women, surprisingly enough. And of course, it's these crazy mothers that get this idea into their heads that their children are actually transgender. And we have loads of celebrities now with transgender children. It's a scandalous thing that's going on, really. I mean, I'm so pleased that Vladimir Putin has spoken up about it and said that it's probably the biggest human rights abuse that's ever occurred. So the more people that speak up against this, the better it is. And of course, I'm not against transgenders themselves. I feel very sorry for them. I have a lot of sympathy for them to not be happy with the body that you have. I mean, it must be an awful situation to be in. That's why it's called gender dysphoria. And you wouldn't really want to be celebrating it. It's not gender euphoria, is it? It's not a euphoric feeling they have. It's dysphoria. It's depression. that they have, and we should be trying to help them to be happy within the bodies that they are in. If they can't be happy in the bodies that they are in, obviously you're going to be polite to them. If they're presenting themselves as if a man, say, is presenting themselves as a woman, you would refer to them as she, just as a matter of courtesy and politeness. But as far as law is concerned, they are still a man. They are a biological man. And as far as policy is concerned, we should not be forced by law to lie, which is essentially what these trans activists want the law to do. They want to force people to say that black is white, that a man is actually a woman, which is, it's just going to cause lots of neuroses, isn't it? It's another contradictory idea that we are being taught on top of many contradictory ideas, which leads to people getting neuroses, particularly children. Now, those behind the protests, which have included spraying graffiti with the phrase "stock out," have taken to social media to celebrate the professor's departure. In one post on Instagram, the group shared an image of the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz with the phrase "Ding dong, the witch is dead," a song from the same film. So they literally wish that this woman was dead because of what she has said, because she has a different opinion. These Antifa are incredibly violent, and the sort of language they use, smash the fash, and you know, the only good Nazi is a dead Nazi, and all sorts of things like this. They literally wish death upon people that have a different opinion to them. Can anything be more bigoted than that? You know, the word bigot used to mean somebody who refuses to listen to another person's opinion or refuses to tolerate anybody else having a different opinion. And a couple of years back, all the dictionaries changed the word bigot to mean something to do with the far right. And this is how prolific this is, really. It comes down from the corporations. It's in the universities. They program the children with it. They just change things in the dictionaries. All the mainstream media will promote things as if it's a done deal, as if everybody supports all of this and there's a big public movement behind it. But of course there isn't, and most people are against it. Instagram page Antifa Sussex, who describe themselves as an unaffiliated network of queer and trans students at the university, also posted a statement in response to Miss Stock's departure, in which they said, "Good effing riddance." Lovely people, aren't they? Lovely language that they use. Students, these are. These are supposed to be the most intelligent people in the country. And yet they use vulgarities like this, and they cannot stand to hear that somebody else might have a different opinion to them. In the statement, the group said, "This is a monumental victory for trans and non-binary students who have protested the ways that this university has enabled transphobia, abuse, and discrimination." I mean, how is it abusive of this woman to say that gender identity does not outweigh biological sex when it comes to law and policy? How is that abusing anybody? It's just stating an opinion. And yet this group of Antifa, they think this is a monumental victory, that this woman has now lost her job, that she's lost her position for having this different opinion. I mean, so one of the confusions that arise here, there's an incident at the moment. Three people have died in a paddleboarding incident in Wales. And you look at it and it tells you the names, and it's got two male names and a female name. And then it tells you that the bodies that were identified were two female bodies and a male body. And when you look at the pictures, you can see that it's not actually two men and one woman. It's two women and one man. And one of the women is obviously trying to make themselves look like a man. So you've got this confusion there right away, because when the police identify a body, they have to identify what sex it is, not what gender it is. I mean, once the person's dead, they can't be presenting as the other gender. So you've got this disconnect between the headline and the identities of the people that have died, and and the actual facts of the matter, the biological facts of the matter. So what this professor was doing, she was just pointing out the truth. And this Antifa group, they cannot stand to hear the truth. So they throw their toys out of the pram. They start shouting and swearing, threatening the woman, bullying her. And then they celebrate once she has to lose her job. In the statement, the group said, "The full weight of a colonial institution, the national media circuit and government ministers were no match for the unity and solidarity of the queer and trans communities at Sussex University." Sorry? It's the full weight of the institutions and the national media and the government that are forcing this upon us. It's the Scottish government that have told the teachers there that they are the ones that should be identifying whether a child is transgender at the age of 3. They should be making the diagnosis, not the doctors. The teachers should just make that diagnosis, and they don't have to tell the parents that they're now calling the parents' child by a different name and referring to them as the opposite gender. This comes down from the government. Theresa May wanted to make it so that people could just self-certify as whatever gender they are. We heard the other week about a police officer who comes in one day and he's a woman, and he comes in the next day and he's a man. And the reason why they can do that is because this has come down from the government. And yet this Antifa group, they think that they're rebelling against this. They think they're rebelling against the national media circuit, who is completely behind them. I mean, the only people the national media circuit are against is nationalists. The National Union of Journalists has guidelines for journalists when they are reporting on the so-called far right, and they are not allowed to put us in a positive light at all. If they do have to report on us, they have to counter everything we say. And they actually say on there that they should refer to authoritative sources like Hope Not Hate. Seriously, if you look at the way that nationalists are reported on in the press, it's very, very formulaic. And that is exactly what they do. They go to Hope Not Hate to because they're a so-called authoritative source, even though they've been shown to be making up information all the time, and they put false information on their website all the time and falsely represent people's views. And if they are if they do have to actually report on something that somebody has said, then they will argue against it. They certainly won't ever put across an unbiased viewpoint, and in order to be a mainstream journalist, you have to sign up to following these guidelines, basically. So for these Antifa to think they are fighting against the media and the government and the institutions, they must be absolutely blind to the facts of the matter. Professor Stock, 48, an expert in gender and sexual orientation. So this is an expert that was speaking here that the Antifa think they know better than, had been branded a transphobe by some outraged students who called for her to be fired in wake of her comments on gender. I mean, where does it appear that she has a phobia about transgenders? I mean, she's just saying that it shouldn't cause changes in law and policy. That's all that she's saying. It's not because she's frightened of them. It's because she can see the confusion that will arise in cases such as the one that I just referred to with these paddle boarders. And she's also concerned about children in these unisex toilets. And of course, we heard 2 weeks back about this young girl who was raped in the unisex toilets by a male that was presenting as a female that day, or who had decided to present as a female that day. And of course, we also hear of lots of women that have actually been raped in women's prisons by men presenting as women and claiming it's their human right to be in a woman's prison. It's all that sort of thing that Professor Stock is concerned about. And she's an expert in this as well. And yet they claim she's a transphobe. Posters put up in the tunnel from Falmer Station to the university's campus earlier this month said she makes trans students unsafe, and we're not paying £9,250 a year for transphobia. Well, you're paying that money because you're supposed to have your views challenged. You're supposed to hear all sides of the argument. And how does it make anybody unsafe to hear an opinion that they don't agree with? And they say this all the time, don't they? They claim that if somebody is a nationalist and they're working with the public, that makes the customers of colour unsafe. No, it doesn't. How does it make anybody unsafe for somebody to have a different opinion, which they're only going to be talking about privately anyway? They're hardly going to be talking about it in their interactions with people at work. How does it make trans students unsafe at the university to know that there is a professor there that has a different opinion to them? And what about the trans students that agree with the professor? I mean, surely these transgenders cannot be so divorced from reality that they think that all they have to do is just cut their genitals off and that actually turns them into a person with a womb. I mean, that is what a woman is. Banners saying stock out had also been held alongside burning flares, and scores of people were criticising her online under the Twitter hashtag shame on Sussex Uni. So there was a huge pile onto this woman. And of course, the government are talking about trying to prevent these pile-ons on members of the government. And it's these Antifa groups that support that. They want to see people censored. They want to see people banned. They don't support free speech. It's now only the so-called far right that actually support free speech. You'll notice it was the left that was calling for free speech in the 60s and the 70s. And then once they took over, the first thing they want to do is do away with free speech, do away with anybody that offers a countering argument to their positions. The university's vice-chancellor, Adam Tickell, had strongly defended her untrammelled right to say what she thinks, whilst more than 200 academics from other universities signed a letter calling out alleged abuse from trans activist bullies. Cry bullies is what they are. They're claiming that they're unsafe and that the words are violent, and it's the equivalent of violence to say something that they don't agree with. It's good that these other academics have supported her, but it wasn't enough. Yesterday, Professor Stock announced on Twitter that she was sad to announce she is leaving her position and added that she hoped other institutions can learn from this. Yeah, I hope they do, because really, it's not so much these Antifa students, because where did they get their ideas from? Who was it that gave them these ideas that it was a correct way to behave to try to silence people and get them kicked out of the university for having a different opinion to them? It will have been the other professors there. They didn't get this idea all on their own, did they? They got this idea because they learn that this is the right way to behave, because they see this sort of thing going on in the mainstream media, don't they? They see anybody that has a different opinion, particularly nationalists, they see all these smear pieces in the newspapers calling for groups like Patriotic Alternative to be banned, calling for Radio Albion to be banned, calling for us to be cancelled, kicked off of social media. So they think that is the right way to behave. And it's not the right way to behave. We should be tolerant of other people's opinions. But the lone voices that are actually calling for that now are just being swamped by these left-wing calls for censorship. Just look at what's happening over in America at the moment with this fake whistleblower from Facebook claiming that Facebook aren't censoring enough. Facebook, of all platforms, that probably has some of the strongest censorship on the planet already. Sussex's Vice-Chancellor Adam Tickell added, "We had hoped that Professor Stock would feel able to return to work, and we would have supported her to do so. She has decided that recent events have meant that this will not be possible, and we respect and understand that decision. We will miss her many contributions from which the university has benefited during her time here." So she must have felt physically threatened by this. She just must have felt that she just cannot go on with all this negativity, walking past all these posters on the way from the train station attacking her. He also said that Professor Stock had made vital contributions to the field of philosophy, and that the intolerance directed at her would always be in direct opposition to even the most basic principles of academia. But yeah, but that's where it came from, isn't it? That's where these ideas came from, that's what people should be doing if they hear an opinion they don't like. He continued, I would like to make it very clear that it is unlawful to discriminate against someone on the grounds of sex and of philosophical belief. Her departure is a loss to us all. Now, that's interesting. I didn't know it was unlawful to discriminate against someone because of their philosophical beliefs, because nationalists are always being discriminated against for their philosophical beliefs. I mean, nationalism is a philosophy. It's a worldview. It's a creed. It should be protected in law. And eventually there might be a court case that comes up that sets that precedent. A creed, if vegetarianism can be seen as a creed or veganism, then nationalism certainly should be seen as a creed, because it informs your every decision that you make is really affected by it, and your understanding of how the world works, your understanding of history, your understanding of religion, it really should be protected in law. He continues, we will, of course, reflect on Professor Stock's experiences, and it will form part of how the university learns from this and moves forwards together. And he finished by saying that he was sad to announce that she is leaving. Professor Stock said this has been a very difficult few years, but the leadership's approach more recently has been admirable and decent. So apparently, at first, they were probably supporting the Antifa. She says, I hope that other institutions in similar situations can learn from this. I am particularly glad to see the university emphasizing that bullying and harassment for anyone for their legally held beliefs is unacceptable in their workplace. And again, patriotic alternatives beliefs are legally held beliefs, and they're constantly getting bullied by the press and harassed by Hope Not Hate. She added, this has been an absolutely horrible time for me and my family. I am putting it behind me now, and I will be on to brighter things soon, I hope. So even the family has been attacked because of this. And we know this is the reason why groups like Hope Not Hate dox people and say who they are and what their beliefs are, because they're hoping that people will also put pressure on the family. And the family can actually be threatened in some cases. Richard Spencer, his mother was leaned on, wasn't she, in order to sell her house and to donate the funds to some philo-Semitic organization a couple of years back. It's really not beyond these people to go after somebody's family just because they don't like what somebody has said. And that's what she is implying here, that the pressure has been put not just on her, but also upon her family. Professor Stock has previously said she is at odds with a large section of academics because she believes gender identity is not more important than facts about biological sex, particularly when it comes to law and policy. Well, particularly when it comes to actually reproducing the nation. I mean, if you were to say that gender identity is more important than biological sex, then you would be effectively be saying that it didn't matter if everybody turned into a transgender. If everybody turned into a transgender, it would be impossible to keep the nation going, wouldn't it? It would effectively be the nation committing suicide. What could be more important than producing a child? Can a transgender woman carry a child to term? No, they can't. University's Minister Michel Donnellan said on Twitter, it is a sad day for freedom of speech. Given the toxic environment at Axe Sussex Uni, it has made it untenable for @DocStock to maintain her position there. No academic should ever have to fear for their personal safety. This only reinforces the need for our free speech bill. Now, that's very interesting. This is the first I've heard of universities calling for a free speech bill. Will it actually include all free speech, or will it just be a free speech bill for these trans-exclusionary radical feminists? We do need, I think, to We do need to have guarantees for free speech in this country, because it has really been chipped away at by the Public Order Act and the Race Relations Act. And a lot of our former legislation actually contradicts with some of this new legislation about hate speech. Things like you can't criticize religions, you can't criticize somebody's sexuality, you can't criticize groups with protected characteristics, which basically means you have these groups in society that are above criticism, and you really can't have groups in society that are beyond criticism, because it means we're no longer all equal under the law. And again, this is another thing that needs to be tested in court, because surely primary legislation cannot be counteracted by later legislation. When you make a law, it lasts for all time, as far as I'm aware. Earlier this month, Professor Stock accused a union branch of effectively ending her career after it called on her employer to take a strong stance against transphobia. In a statement, the Sussex branch of the University and College Union said all trans and non-binary members now more than ever should receive the unequivocal support of the University of Sussex. How is it not supporting them to just have somebody there that has a different opinion? And you've got the support of the university there, that they've allowed you to be there. They'll call you by whatever pronouns you want to be called. They'll allow you to use the whatever toilets you want to use. And in return, they would expect you to accept that some people may have a different opinion to you. I mean, what is it with these people? And they literally think that they can be allowed to use violence against people because they have a different opinion. That they claim that the words themselves are so hurtful that they are the equivalent of physical violence, and therefore they are justified in using physical violence to get somebody to stop speaking. And this is being encouraged, really, by the Law Commission at the moment, because they're looking at changing the laws around these hate speech laws, so that there is no longer any need to actually prove that there is an intent to incite hatred. And they are linking this inciting of hatred to being the same thing as violence, as the equivalent of violence against a minority if they hear something that they don't like, and making it a specific crime. And of course, if it's a specific crime, then you're allowed to use physical force to try and prevent somebody from committing a crime. So effectively, somebody could just use physical violence against you. And when the police said, well, what was going on there? And you can say, well, I was trying to prevent a crime, officer. They said that there were only two genders. And this was hate speech against transgenders, so I tried to prevent the crime from occurring by thumping them in the mouth. And you may think that people wouldn't be able to get away with that, but they do get away with it if they say that somebody was saying the N-word, and that's why they got violent with them. And it starts with that, and it ends with people being attacked simply for saying that there are only two genders. Ms. Stock has repeatedly insisted in the past that she is not a transphobe, but attention on her views has intensified since her book Material Girls came out in May. I bet she's not a transphobe. I bet she's very friendly to all the transgenders that she meets. I don't see anything here that says that she's frightened of trans. If she was frightened of trans people, she wouldn't be daring to have a different opinion to them, would she? So it's a nonsense to say that she's transphobic. She has written and spoken extensively about sex and gender identity, arguing that womanhood and manhood reflect biological sex, not gender or gender identity. And of course, it is insulting to both women and men to claim that the opposite gender understands exactly what it is like to be your sex. It's they may have an idea that they understand what it's like. How can a man understand what it's like to have periods? How can a woman understand what it's like to have an erection? I mean, it's a nonsense that they are trying to promote here. And I may disagree with this woman on her left-wing views, but I do think it's been very courageous of her to stand up to this and to speak about it. And it is drawing attention to it. And I'm pleased that the universities are now saying that she should have been supported and that we do need a free speech bill. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.